UFOs and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Been there for me. Hello. Hello, hello, привет, добрый день, фауака, хуянов, алоха, ола, джамбо, ассалам алейкум, сокерес, бонжорно, алло, чеваш, здрасти, добро утро, добр вечер, добрый день. Good morning, good afternoon, good day, good evening, good night, good whatever. I am your host, the Right Reverend Dr. Rowe, and you're listening to Reality Extraction and Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Zombieites. It's the 29th day of September 2022, 5:06 p.m., 1700 hours and some change. That is on the West Coast. It's a pleasant 84 degrees right now, Fahrenheit, not too hot, not too cold. I guess there's a hurricane going on over on the other side of the country. That's the only thing about living in Florida. Every once in a while, the water comes and blows your house away. Of course, here in California, every once in a while, the ground opens up and swallows your house. And that would be earthquakes, so we haven't had one for a while. So hopefully there won't be one very soon. I kind of wonder sometimes, it's climate change. Oh, it's the climate change. Screw your climate change. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to shift everything from COVID lockdowns to climate lockdowns, but you're still going to have to take your booster shot. Everything's going to be blamed on that. We have a Matrix chat room, element.io, and then a bunch of stuff, freedom slip, blah, blah, blah. But you can get there easily by just typing in tinyurl.com/freedomslips. That's it. tinyurl.com/freedomslips. And you will go to the Matrix chat room. It's a bunch of people there. It's a bunch of articles. There's a bot that posts stuff once in a while. You can ignore it if you don't like seeing all that bot stuff go by. Yes. Or not. You can ignore the bot or not. Let's see. Tonight we have, in the second half, I'll run this little thing about clones, probably. That'll take up the second half. First half, I'm just going to ramble at you. You know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is the Pope takes all the money back day. Did you know that? Hi, Don's due too. Hello, Dry Fly Guy, Dr. Comet, Cat Dog Girl, CK Nip. Who else is in there? Kathleen. Mario, Malia, Cannon, Lady Horse, Net Effect, A Mad Painter, Manifester Susie Q 909, Dry Fly Guy, Dude Guy. Who else? Anyway, I don't have anything to talk about today. I'm sorry, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, actually, but I've discovered how I would react with impending doom. I would just play with my Hot Wheels. That's what I would do. While everybody is running around, oh, no, the end of the world is coming. The nuclear bombs. I'm going to be like, I'm playing with Hot Wheels. I'm that guy. All right, well, I'm not going to, stress over the bombs falling. I'm just going to be, Can I have a lollipop? Just, what can you do? Hopefully we're not faced with impending doom. Hopefully the end of the world. Why stress over it if you are? I mean, if it's going to happen, well, you might as well just make your last days or whatever more pleasant than not. But maybe it won't happen. Maybe we're all going to go on and it's just but then it's a bonus because then you're like, it's a nice release to just not give a shit about anything anymore and just kind of drift for a few weeks. Yeah. People are blowing up pipelines. Do you think that the weather is being manipulated? Like, maybe it is a natural event, the hurricane, right? It's the biggest hurricane, but maybe something's helping it along a little bit. Like, oh, a hurricane occurs. Now let's, you know, there's a fire. Let's throw gasoline on it, kind of thing. Do you believe that they have weapons that can do that? Maybe they have a satellite array somewhere. Maybe they have the like HAARP kind of stuff. Do you think that technology exists? Someone who would use that? Why would they do that? Would it be somebody against us? Would it be our own? Who's us? Would it be the United States government? Would it be the China or the Russians or somebody else? Maybe it's Cobra. Maybe it's like a secret, like they're under Switzerland. They're under Lake Geneva. It's the rogue CIA, but they're not the CIA anymore. They're like Octopus, the Octopus organization, the secret society that runs the world. It comes from the black nobility families. If you had billions and trillions and all the power and knowledge, what would you do? Do you think that they made contact with aliens or demons? Do you think that really exists? Do you think we blew up that pipeline? Or was that part of the script? You remember what Klaus was saying? Somewhere I've got that. Let's find it. Hang on. Give me a second. We're just winging it today. How is everybody? Are you all good? let's see. Let's go somewhere. I tell you what I've been doing. I told you before. I've been lost in AI art. Yeah, that's what I've been learning. It's not just me putting random things in. I'm actually trying to learn how to control this thing. You know, just playing around, making cool things, and working on a book. I'm working on two books, actually. One of them, well, I can't talk about the other one yet. Maybe it's already out, but we'll see. Later on, you'll find out what I'm babbling about. But I am going to be working on my own book and doing it like illustrations with the AI. And I've already got a story set kind of in my head. Basically, the what do they call that? The pitch. Yeah, the pitch. The pitch is it's about a gypsy named, well, I won't tell you the name yet, but it's a cute name. Okay, I'll tell you the name. It's Otzi. It's a gypsy named Otzi, and he goes around different realms of existence, and he travels in a magic gypsy wagon, usually in the Carpathian Mountains. And the wagon can change shape, and it's bigger on the inside like a TARDIS, and it can travel interdimensionally. And he can kind of disguise himself and sort of like changeling shapeshift a little bit because he's magic. And he travels to like the Deva realms, you know, the Tibetan underworld and the Greek underworld places like Limbo and Tartarus, and hangs out at the River Styx. And he meets Bigfoot and the Abominable Snowman and elves, and goes to Agartha, and you know, he hangs out with the Daros in the caves there, and hangs out in the Nautica caves, and does all kinds of interesting stuff. What the hell am I looking for? Oh, that's right. I'm just rambling here. Let me see if I can find it here. Remember when he said, what's a good thing to look for? Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. So, all right. Which one do I want? I guess this goes for... I guess this one is the one. Copy link address. Okay, we'll play it from the server so that you can hear it also, so that I'm not the only one that hears it. You've heard it before. Come on now. We welcome you back once again. Yes. Tell the ladies and gentlemen and non-binaries the plan here. Hold on. Get it ready. All right. Take it away.
I don't know how it will play out in November, but what we know is that we will end up with many more unemployed, and particularly also people in the gray economy, which are not counted for, who lose their jobs. So we will see definitively a lot of anger already now, but probably increased by the end of the year, because this crisis will be with us until we really have found a remedy. So we have to prepare for a more angry world. And
we must prepare for a more angry world. Remember when he said that? Yes, we're going to have a much angrier world. And I've been noticing that people are getting angry all over, for a lot of them for the same reason and in different. Even the Jews, I saw this post on our Twitter page, and it said classic anti-Semitism. And what it was, was, well, I guess technically it was anti-Semitic, because it was these Orthodox Jews that were being abused. But who was abusing the Orthodox Jews? Other Jews. The guy that was abusing the Orthodox Jew was wearing a little, what is that, a yarmulke thingy on his head. The regular Jews are, you know, fighting with the Orthodox Jews. And I just kind of scratched my head at that one comment. I'm like, well, yeah, technically it is anti-Semitic, but isn't it? What are you trying to say? I mean, what? You're like, yeah, what? Even when the Jews, it's like if he's hitting himself, can a Jewish guy stand in front of a bunch of people? I'm not ragging on the Jews. I'm just asking a question. Can a Jewish guy, you know, it's anti-Semitic, blah, blah, blah stuff. Is it anti-Semitic if a Jewish guy starts hitting himself? If one guy stands alone by himself and starts punching himself in the face, is that anti-Semitic? Technically, I guess you could say, yeah, it is. What's the point? Let's get back to Klaus.
How to prepare? It means to take the necessary action to create a fairer world.
I love the way that, you know, a fairer world. He's going to help. He's going to make it fair for everybody. Because you're all angry because they're going to take everything away. Remember, tomorrow's Pope takes back the money day. And they're going to make it fair. They're going to help you.
To see that we provide everybody with decent access to the health system, that we make sure that those people who are...
Why do we need to make sure? Why do you need to be so damn helpful? Huh? Like, we have this big problem that we're going to save the world. We're so lucky. Aren't we so lucky that we have these helpful people around to make sure everything goes according to plan? Don't you agree? Don't you think that this is such a wonderful man? He's so altruistic. I mean, what would we do without people like Klaus and his World Economic Forum, or people like George Soros and his Open Societies Foundation? Oh, the pain, how horrible this world would be without these kinds of folks.
Are really left behind, and I'm not speaking only on national levels, I'm speaking also internationally. If I see now the tragedy in some of the emerging countries like South Africa, like some countries in East Asia, I think it's all...
Why are some of these countries emerging with tragedies? What is happening? Who is causing the tragedies? What tragedies? What tragedies are we talking about, Klaus?
I don't have too many remedies. The remedies have to be discussed through dialogue by the stakeholders of our global system.
Wait, who's the stakeholders? I mean, we're nothing? He doesn't have the remedies, but they have to be discussed. Who's Klaus? Who is discussing the remedies? Who are the stakeholders, Mr. Schwab? Can you please tell us that?
But I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reason.
He sees the need because I guess somebody appointed him omnipotent hedgeman of the universe or something. I mean, I see the need for a lot of things, and nobody really gives a shit what I see the need for. I see the need to help kittens. Does anybody care about that? Speak. Go ahead, Klaus. Don't allow me to interrupt you anymore. I'm sorry.
He said.
To what extent would a reset be brought about by a change in the White House, the election of Joe Biden, for instance?
I don't know. We shouldn't speculate about the outcome of the election. We will see beginning of November and then...
Okay. So that's that part. Yeah. There was another one that was a little bit shorter, but you get the point. You get the gist. Don't you think,
like I was saying, it would be, can you imagine a world without these people? We can't do an experiment. They won't let you alone. They won't. You can't go to. There's no place in the world now that they're going to let. They will allow. Well, you know what? Why do we have to? Why do we have to be submissive to what they will allow? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Why are we allowing them to allow? Because there's so many of us that are order followers. What would happen if we all just stopped following orders? Actually, not all of us have to stop, just the ones that are following the orders. Many of us, we do agree to say, okay, we're going to allow a government to exist. We're going to allow some semblance of organized defense and to assist for the common good, right? I do want to do an experiment about total anarchy. It has never been tried. In our modern age. Now, I don't have much hope for it. Don't get me wrong. But there's a small chance that it might work. What do I propose? I propose we have a place designated, preferably like on an island somewhere, like let's say Cuba. I don't know if the Cubans would agree. Maybe they would. I don't know. Basically, let's say the Cuban government goes poof, it's gone. There's no more Cuban government. And the collective Cuban population says, we don't want any more governments. We've tried governments, and we don't need a government. We can hang out and do our thing. And so we decide, okay, there will be no government. We'll just allow that to exist without any formal government. How long would that last? Or if we were to, this is a little more harsh, if we were to, let's say, I guess you could do it on an island as well, and just say, okay, not only is there no government, but since there's no government, there's no law. Anything can happen. Anything can go. Now, naturally, if there's no law and people start becoming a little bit rowdy, let's say there's no law and a group of folks decide they're just going to go around and start shooting people and taking what they want. Well, there's going to be a response to that, right? The natural thing would be there would naturally, organically form some sort of militia, posse, sheriff kind of, you know, loose organization amongst the people that decided collectively, look, we want to live in peace. We want to do what we want to do, but we also have enough honor, because honor is a big part of this. People say, well, you know, if you let anybody do what they want without government, what's to stop people from, you know? Yeah, exactly. Honor is to stop them. But what about people with no honor? Well, they're pretty worthless in society, aren't they? And we'll find them, and we'll weed them out, and we will deal with them like an albino alligator on a case-by-case basis. We will assume that each person has a mutual respect for the other. And the group would probably collectively agree that there are certain things that instinctually, just you don't have to have anybody tell you, even a little baby at some point in life just kind of learns this, that you don't harm others. You don't kill others. There are certain things, there are certain barriers, right? That you know, I don't want to get graphic, but you get the idea. And I think collectively we would see if more people had the honor to create a society that basically allows people to have almost absolute freedom, as long as that freedom does not hinder on the other. Now, after society grows to a certain point, things do start to get complex and complicated, especially when you get commerce involved. And, you know, then again, things just kind of organically create themselves. People get together and form committees and say, well, we've got to figure out how to do this. We've got to have a framework, right? We can't just let willy-nilly chaos reign in all aspects. So we got to have some order and then naturally government form. Well, didn't that happen kind of like, back in the 1770s? There was like 13 colonies. They got together and they're like, right? And even after those were formed and there was like they were exploring the West, right? Where there was no law out there. And in the West, it's the engines. The engines are going to get you, according to the traditional histories. There ain't no law out here. You got to have your gun because it's the wild, wild West. But law did form. Civilization did occur. Because we're not just monkeys. We have organizational skills, right? But again, that is the question. Now we've gone too far. We've gone top heavy. We've allowed things to get so complex and so out of control and so massive that there's no room anymore for independence. There's no room. There's no place on quote unquote Earth that you can go and be left alone anywhere. Always you're going to be under some jurisdiction, someone's jurisdiction somewhere. Okay. You're subjected to now they want to take everything away. They want to make everybody mad. They're screwing up. It's bad management. They're screwing up the earth. What would happen if we collectively could correct the things that are screwing up the earth? What is preventing that? What is preventing us from correcting the things that are screwing up the earth? Well, a few guys with guns, right? When you're in a courtroom and that judge, the judge is sitting up there in his high and mighty place, they make you stand up whenever the judge stands up. When the judge stands up, you stand up. You have to call him Your Honor, Your Honor, Your Honor. Because why? Because if you don't, he's going to beam you with his electron eyes. He's going to fly down there and eat your head? No, because he's going to order the guy with guns to enforce it, maybe even shoot you if you don't agree with what he says. He's going to tell you, you got to go to jail for whatever. Now, he might be correct, and maybe you do deserve to go to jail for whatever. Or maybe it's a crooked thing and you've been framed and whatever and blah, blah, blah. But whatever he says is law, literally, in his little fiefdom. But what if he's a corrupt guy and he decides to screw with you? You can't just go up there and talk to him one-on-one. He's got guys with guns. What would happen if those guys with guns weren't there? But then honor would have to take over, right? Either honor or chaos. Because then you'd have a jury of your peers. You'd have people there, right? The guns are there for either when honor fails or when corruption decides it's going to take hold. But if there's a majority of people there with honor, then you wouldn't need the order follower because the collective would deal with you, again, like an albino alligator. So you couldn't just, so if the judge was being corrupt and didn't have his enforcer, then the rest of the people could enforce the corrupt judge and correct him. But if the judge has the enforcer behind him, then it doesn't matter what the judge says, because that's going to be law because it's enforced by the enforcer, by the order follower. I don't know. Maybe we've forgotten the definition of honor. That is one big problem we have. It's a lack of honor. Maybe it's the largest problem we have on the planet collectively, the lack of honor, right? When people decide the motivation is for profit. When maybe the motivation is not even for profit, but honor is abandoned. Because why? We're not enlightened. We know how to tinker a little better. The machines are a little more streamlined. They're a little better at making, some of these square wave generators. But I don't think that humanity itself has progressed in any large fashion. I don't think that humanity is Well, let's say humanity is collectively spiritually inebriated. In my opinion, I believe we are spiritually drunk. We are hindered. There's something about our shining light of humanity that is dampened. Maybe, just maybe, and this is my crazy personal opinion, I don't know. Maybe it's those shots that they give you when you're born. Not the COVID vaccine, not even that one. No, the ones that they give you, you know, the little ones when they're born. Because, you know, nature wasn't good enough. God wasn't good enough. Don't give me any crap. Again, this is a world without honor. Maybe in another reality, in another dimension, where there's a world with honor and manufacturers of vaccines were honorable manufacturers. And, you know, I mean, you could call me crazy, but I flat out believe that they've been putting weird stuff in the vaccines long before this nano stuff, that they just got real good at it now. Maybe for different reasons, but I do believe that whether they are intended on it or not, they make you stupider. They drop your IQ points. They prevent the development of certain aspects of your brain. They stunt humanity's growth in more ways than one. Spiritually? Quite possibly. What do you know about the spirit world? What do you know about the pineal gland? And I'm talking to, you know, rhetorically to the great minds of this planet, the scientists, the PhDs, and the professors, right? What do you really know? What do we collectively as human beings really know? So much that we can say, oh, now we can create this concoction that's better than nature. Because that's what they did, by the way, if you want to just get simple about the vaccines. They said, well, you know, we replaced the immune system. That's what they've done. They replaced the immune system. Now, the only thing about their immune system versus the creator's immune system is, well, their system needs you to be updated. Yeah. And their system was made by them. Now, whether they have honor or not, and whether their system is 100% perfect or not, well, we'll just have to wait and see. But I have a sneaking suspicion that they are not exactly honorable, and that system is not exactly perfect. I'm going to trust the creator's system. I'm not going to replace it. That's like, you know, taking your BMW down and having somebody somewhere say, I got this motor in the car, in the garage that's better. If you leave your car here, I'll put that engine in there and it'll run good. You know, and keep the one from the manufacturer, thanks. Let's look at the intelligence report. Maybe there's something going on. Let's find out. Let's see. Anything to talk about? Yeah. Oh, what's this? Oh, wait a minute. Intel report. Okay. Oh, by the way, so the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics, as well as Kherson and Zaporozhye regions, have been liberated, quote unquote, and overwhelmingly, like 99%, voted to join the Russian Federation. Now, at 1500 in the Grand Kremlin Palace in the St. George Hall, a ceremony will be held to sign agreements on the entry of new territories into the Russian Federation. There will be a speech by President Vladimir Putin at the event. So also on 30 September at 8 a.m. in Washington, D.C., that is tomorrow morning, Russian ambassador to the United States, Anatoly Antonov, issued a warning saying we are not threatening anyone, but this is going to occur. He's saying that this is going to occur at 8 a.m. We are not threatening anyone, but we confirm that as President Vladimir Putin said on, okay, I guess it's coinciding. That's what time they're going to have. It's going to be 8 a.m. here and 1500 in the Kremlin. Okay, that makes sense. We are not threatening anybody. But we do confirm that as President Vladimir Putin said on 21 September, Russia is ready to defend its sovereignty, territorial integrity, and our people with all weapon systems we have. I would like to add
that certain American politicians are under a delusion if they think that our readiness to defend our territory does not apply to Crimea or territories that may become part of Russia on the basis of a free expression of popular will. And let's see. He also said the United States is risking destruction by engaging in nuclear brinkmanship, the translation is either way, against Russia. American military planners apparently hope that the United States will be able to take cover behind the ocean if nuclear weapons are used in Europe. We have warned against such a gamble. Okay. Let's see. Tens of thousands of people. Oh, wait. I don't know if that's, if they're meaning they're wanting to join. And I know that during the mobilization, they were saying a lot of people were fleeing. Now in Chechnya, there are a lot of people who are joining just because it's an honor thing. But there are also sites or videos of people like having their last drinks and stuff, you know, before they go off to the front or whatnot. Let's see. There's propaganda on both sides. Let me look at some of the Telegram channels here. We got some time and see what they're saying. I have not been looking at any of these channels except a couple here and there. Like I said, I've been just playing with my Hot Wheels. I've been making AI art, I'm telling you. I have been putting in some interesting descriptors, like real things from history. Like, for example, things that are in Italian and Latin. Star forts, the real names of these. And some of the Tartarian stuff. And to see what it comes up with is very interesting. To see what it comes up with. And a lot of stuff is accurate. It's scary. Okay, so let's see. Let me find some of the channels here that I can easily. Okay, let's see what this one says here. All right. Transgender charity Mermaids under investigation. The charity commission is investigating concerns over safeguarding. All right. UK general election. Let's see. It looks like the Labour Party, center left, 54% right now. Center right, 21%. So the Labour Party in the United Kingdom. And it's between center right and center left, Labour and the Conservative Party or whatever. 21%, 54 to 21. Okay, let's see what else we got. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's Russians going off to the front. The exact number of mobilization is, who knows, a lot. Some people are saying they could probably raise a 1 million-man army. Others are saying it's only like, a couple hundred thousand. But let's just say a lot of people are being mobilized. Okay, so border territories of the northeast of Ukraine, the artillery of the armed forces of the Russian Federation worked on targets in Sinkovka and Belechna in the Cherniv region, as well as villages of Serdina Buda, Gavrilova, Svoboda, and Khelbrov Sumy. Region, Kharkov region. This morning, Ukrainian formations fired at a convoy of refugees from five cars heading from Kupiansk to the territory controlled by Russian troops in the Kharkov region. According to some reports, about 30 people were killed, including children. Lyman, the AFU continues to develop operational success in the defense sector of the troops of the Western Military District and the Armed Forces of the Russian Federation, the People's Militia of the Luhansk People's Republic. By midnight, the APU managed to actually close the estuary into a cauldron
The stakes are occupied from the north. There are battles in Zarakoyshnoi, the Lyman, Torshkoy Highway is under constant enemy fire. Yampol is being stormed from the south. If decisive measures are not taken by the command of the armed forces of the Russian Federation within a day, then the fate of Balaklaya awaits the estuary. Defenders of the city in the person of the Leopard detachments of the People's Militia units of the LNR and 20 combined arms army will be completely cut off from the main group. If they are destroyed in the city, the entire defensive potential of the Russian armed forces in this sector may be nullified. So in Fakhmut or Artemov direction, assault detachments of Wagner PMCs are engaged in fierce battles on the outskirts of Fakhmut and Soledar, as well as in the villages of Zaitsevo and Otrovotska in the southern flank of this section. In Luhansk region, during the day, the AFU fired at the village of Zoloto 5 from the HIMARS MLRS, as a result of which the local house of culture was destroyed. And in Donetsk, the Ukrainian formations once again shelled Donetsk, Yasinovtaya, Gorlovka, Makayevka, and other settlements of the Donetsk agglomeration. Zaporozhye region. At night, the armed forces of the Russian Federation carried out at least 8 missile strikes on the objects of the Ukrainian army in Zaporozhye. The Ukrainian formations continued to conduct fierce shelling. In that area, the critical infrastructure of the nuclear power plant in Inzhgonar is Energodar. Units of the armed forces of the Russian Federation hit the firing positions of the armed forces of Ukraine in the northern bank of the Dnieper in Nikopol and Manganese. Dnipropetrovsk, how do you say that? Dnipropetrovsk. The armed forces of the Russian Federation carried out a massive fire defeat of objects in the depot and bus day. Why can't I say that one? Dnipropetrovsk. Da. Hi. Dnipropetrovsk. Da. The depot and bus station were also hit. Wagons and buses were used to transport ammunition. So, they're fighting. Krivoy Rog, and there's another one. I'm not going to try to say that one. All right, what else is going on? Let's see, 400 staff of the BBC will lose their jobs as part of a cost-cutting program and a move to digital platforms, the broadcasting company announced on Thursday. Wow. 400 people from the BBC. Volunteers in North Ossetia are going to the zone of the special military operation. Man, do you think they're going to actually use nukes? Who do you think, like I asked in the beginning, who do you think blew up that pipeline? Cui bono? And then the next day or the following day, I don't know, the same day, they're like, oh, but we have this other pipeline. Isn't that convenient? Man, what do you think? You think Putin's going to like blow up an undersea cable? I wouldn't put it, at this point, if I was Putin, I might be so angry. I'd be like, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down there and I'm going to blow up one of their transatlantic cables. I'm going to sever just for fun. I go down there and blow up a transatlantic cable between the United States and Europe. That'd be one to do. Blow them all up. But just cut them all off. Just say, let's just launch a whole bunch of deep sea drones because I'm sure they know where every single cable is. Now, the United States wouldn't be totally cut off because they could switch to satellite, right? I mean, you know, they do have some satellites up there that could handle some of the traffic. But like your traffic and most of the commercial stuff, yeah, that would be cut off. That would be cut off. Or is it all planned? Putin, Trump, Biden, whoever else. Are they all in on this together? Here's where I'm going. My timeline is completely different. Well, maybe not. I'll tell you what it is. In my timeline, it is a controlled collapse. But there are factions. The factions are warring. They all want control over humanity because they're non-human. But one faction wants to remove all of the technology or all of the old, let's say, traditional diesel tech. Let's say diesel punk. You know, there's steampunk and diesel punk. Well, diesel punk, that is, you know, using oil and diesel and gasoline and that kind of stuff. They want to remove that, just like the other, but they don't want to enslave everybody. See, one group wants to remove all the diesel tech that we're in diesel tech right now. This is the world is diesel tech. They want to remove all of that and go to a solid state control mechanism, digital solid state control system. And they want to incorporate that into you. The another group wants to, yes, remove the diesel punk, diesel tech. And they want to release the patents, the free energy to let it organically flow and let people kind of develop their own systems with the boost of new energy and new ways of doing things. Like, well, yeah, you know, you can still build what you want to build, but you don't need to use gasoline anymore. And you don't need to use meter electricity that you plug into a wall. Oh, and solar power just got 500 times more efficient. What if they could make it does sound like somebody else is on. There's nobody else on here. I'm on here. What if they could make solar cells that were that were 500 times more efficient than they are today? Like, I currently have a solar generator device that I built myself because it's cheaper to do it with the raw components. And I mean, it's easy. It's like I can power a lot of stuff in a pretty efficient. I mean, imagine if it was 500 times more efficient, I could use something the size of a calculator, a cell phone. I'm dating myself. Remember calculators? I don't have calculators anymore. What the hell? I remember when I was a kid, I used to go to the mall to like Sears or Macy's, and they'd have a display of all the calculators. I'd sit there, push all the buttons. They had some that had paper and they printed stuff. Remember those? Paper, little tiny. Yeah, they don't have calculators anymore. Wow, calculator. And when I went to school, if you were caught with a calculator in math class, ooh, you got in trouble, man. Now, later on in college, they said, no, you're going to need a calculator. You're going to have one. It's required. You need like one that can do cosine and sine waves and stuff, that kind of thing. But man, when I was in high school, you get caught with a calculator in class, that's like cheating. You got to show your work. And nowadays, you can graduate. You don't even know what the word math. You don't even have to spell the word math. Math. M. I don't know, man. Q. No. Just go away. Where was I? I derailed myself. Tell me, chat room, what the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, 500% more efficient. Okay. Oh, yeah. The groups. So one faction wants to allow humanity to blossom and flourish. They're like, it's time for a new age of enlightenment. Let's see how humanity does. Let's allow them. Let's test them again. And allow humanity to go to just flow and see where they go. Let's say here you can have this technology and this technology and this technology and that. Clean the world up a little bit and let's see what you do. Make it a better place. But they still want to kind of control you. They still want to, you know, be the guys on top, but they're a little more generous. Another side says, no. We're going to make them all into robots. And we're going to kill most of them. And the other ones are going to be like totally controllable and enslavable, and it's just going to be a hell world. Oh, and they're going to eat bugs. Don't eat bugs. Don't eat exoskeletons. They're poison. They cause health problems, and then you're going to turn into like a golem creature. Believe me, you'll turn into a golem creature. I have traveled through time and space. Yes, I have, and I've seen things. Okay? That's all I'll say. You'll turn into a golem creature. Do not eat insects. You are not meant to eat insects. Let's see what else is happening. I guess, what's her name down? Jacinda Yarden, whatever her name is, down there in New Zealand, is talking about how, you know, the social media censoring, this is not enough. Okay? The social media stuff, the deplatforming, you know, that kind of curating that's done to prevent people from being dangerous and saying so many hurtful things that could cause the destruction of the universe. That's not enough. We need to get governments involved. And it's for your own good. You need to, you know, why don't we just have everybody go down to, maybe they'll sponsor this. We'll your insurance will cover it. Go down to the local hospital and have your mouth sewn shut. How about that? We'll all just go down. We don't have to wear masks then. Just a little nose plug thing. Oh, but then you won't breathe. But you don't have to breathe. We'll have a little air hole where you can breathe through like a straw. Otherwise, we'll just sew your mouth shut because people are dangerous when they open their mouths. We cannot allow people to express themselves because other people that might hear them, well, they might take it the wrong way. If I tell you go jump off a cliff, you might do it. And, you know, I'm a horrible person because you can't think for yourself. You can't make the proper decision. You have to be curated. Somebody has to watch out for you to make sure that you're safe, that your brain doesn't, you know, explode because I put the wrong things in there. Oh, here's something. What is she saying? I can't. I know what I can do. I can save it because I want to hear what she says. I can save it this way. And then I can go there and then I could copy and then I could go to the server. And then I could paste it to the server. Boom. And now I can play. I love this. I have like gigabyte here. Gigabit internet. It's so fast. Okay, speaking of Jacinda, let's see what she says.
This week we launched an initiative alongside companies and nonprofits to help improve research and understanding of how a person's online experiences are curated by automated processes. This will also be important in understanding more about mis- and disinformation online, a challenge that we must, as leaders, address. Sadly, I think it's easy to dismiss this problem as one in the margins. I can certainly understand the desire to leave it to someone else. As leaders, we're rightly concerned that even the most light-touch approaches to disinformation could be misinterpreted as being hostile to the values of free speech that we value so highly.
You see, they're pretty adept at flipping this shit, twisting it all around, and making it sound like they're doing a right thing against something so horrible. They go to school for this shit. You know they do. She went to that, what, Young Global Leaders crap.
But while I cannot tell you today what the answer is to this challenge, I can say with complete certainty that we cannot ignore it.
Why can't we ignore it? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. Aren't you up for a challenge? And we can't ignore it. Why can't we ignore it, Jacinda? It's because it's so horrible.
To do so poses an equal threat to the norms we all value.
It's a threat. It's a threat. You know, I used to kind of think the New Zealand accent was cute. It's freaking annoying to me now. She ruined it for me. I'm sorry, New Zealanders. But that bitch ruined it for me. She's not even a real bitch.
After all, how do you successfully end a war? If people are led to believe the reason for its existence is not only legal, but noble. How do you tackle climate change if people do not believe it exists?
See, how do you tackle it? If you tackle, the climate change. How about letting people believe that it doesn't exist? Why do we have to believe what you tell us to believe?
How do you ensure the human rights of others are upheld when they are subjected to hateful and dangerous rhetoric and ideology?
Okay, yeah. Now, I'm going to put this in the chat room because it's her doing that real – that was a real speech. But the overlay, they put her – they put her in the podium of like Kim Jong-un in a North Korean, you know, government – So, but it's fitting. I'll put it in the chat room, and then we'll take a break in just a second here. You're listening to freedomslips.com. This is Revolution Radio, and we are 100% listener supported. We don't make any money. I don't get paid. Be nice if I did. We haven't gotten any Bitcoin donations. I know Bitcoin's in the, it's time to donate. Put some Bitcoin. Go to the Bitcoin donation crypto place and, or any of the cryptos we take, like Ethereum, whatever, and please send some crypto. We don't get anything. Alex Jones gets millions and millions of dollars, and we got what? Like in all these years, we got like $30 in crypto or something. Oh, come on. Come on, crypto fam. I mean, all the plugging that I do and not even just a little dust. Oh my goodness. But that's okay. I'm not complaining. Well, we're going to take a break now. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Thank you. going on here? I demand an explanation.
We work for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
An intelligence organization that fears intelligence, historically not awesome.
The United States is a democratic nation. Here the people rule. We build no walls to keep them in, nor organize any system of police to keep them mute.
Freedom isn't free at all, but it comes with the highest of costs.
We have you, the listeners, and the hosts at
Revolution Radio.
Radio. Radio.
For allowing us to bring you a platform of free speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for staying with us. We now return to the king of crypto, the Tarzan of techno, the mystery wrapped up in a riddle, Mr. Rowe.
Follow me.
Myself on the other. I have mute buttons. We're back. Yeah, I got the Skype mute, and then I have the mic mute on my Yeti microphone. It's a really cool microphone. So, yeah, let's see. Yes, okay, I'm getting messages. Yes, I've covered that. She's not, well,
technically she was never a woman. She calls herself a woman now. What am I talking about? Chicago Brew has messaged me. What's going on, Chicago Brew? Shout out. Yes, Jacinda is a he. I did. That's why I said she's not even a real bitch. You get it now? But I'm. But there is. In fact, I'll find the name of the book. She was. Yeah, he was one of the first transgenders. And as long as we were talking about it on the roundtable last night, and let me from transgender to transhuman, the author of the book. Her name is Martine Rothblatt, and I'll tell you a little something about. And I call her because that's what the, you know, she is now using the pronouns. I know, but I understand the technical aspect of it. Let me bring up the part I want to tell you about Martine. Martine, who was a he, is now a she, and it does like she does. TED Talks and that kind of thing. The book, it's from, it was like 1990 something. It's called, again, From Transgender to Transhumanism. She is the chairperson of United Therapeutics. She went to the London School of Medicine and she's married to Bina Rothblatt as well. They have four children. She did a big TED or interview. There's actually several interviews on YouTube, but this is one of these elite people that was involved in a lot of stuff. Like, she was born into a Jewish family in Chicago, just as a little background. She left college after 2 years and traveled. Let's see, it was at a NASA tracking station in the Seychelles during 1974 that she had her epiphany to unite the world via satellite communications. So she went to university and got a thesis in international satellite broadcasting. It's interesting that all these things are kind of together with this person, right? So she's into satellites and communications, like radio and stuff. Also health. She worked for like Hughes Space, satellite communications, medical and pharmaceutical as well. She's a well-known voice for medical and pharmaceutical innovation in 1994, motivated by her daughter being diagnosed with pulmonary hypertension. This is what this says. It says Rothblatt created the PPH Cure Foundation. So maybe that's true. Maybe she had her daughter, you know, and then she I think shortly after that, she had her surgery, her gender changing. So she was one of the first people. Now, and being a person that has a lot of money, you know, like someone like her or I know her, him, whatever. What's the other one? Bruce Jenner. Freudian slip. Loose gender. I mean, Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner. Nah. Okay. You know that one. Caitlin now, I guess. It wants to call itself Caitlin. They have a lot of money. And with a lot of money, you have access to the best or higher quality care than would be given to, let's just say, you know, some old Tom, Dick, or Harry that wants to chop his Peter off. From the inner city or something. So, you know, they're going to have, because if you didn't know, and I knew, but maybe somebody might make the argument like, that was a man, you know, or whatever. So, I remember when I was working, I was doing a contract work at PG&E, Diablo Canyon for a little while. But anyway, we had one of the administrators there, one of the top people. Went through that in San Francisco, and this was in the late 90s, or mid-90s, I guess. No, it was in mid-90s. Went through that and had that reassignment surgery. I don't know if they got anything chopped off or folded in or anything like that, but it went from a he to a she. Yeah, I remember that now. She started growing. I remember it was a man when I first started working there, And then it became a woman. And then it's like growing hair long. And I saw the whole transition. And that was a – nobody said anything. Nobody said a word. Everybody pretended like it didn't even happen. Everybody's just – there's no, we don't see it. Nothing happened. No, there was – it was like a few people say, hey, blah, 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 blah. They talk about it, the water cooler kind of thing, right? This is not what I was going to talk about, but anyway, I got a thing I was going to play, and we're not going to be able to get through the whole thing anyway, so I might as well just talk a little bit, and then I'll start playing it, because unless you guys got something interesting to bring up, maybe, I don't know, maybe I won't get to it. It was about colognes. But look, like I said last night, and I'll kind of reiterate this, this woman with her book, his book, Transgender Transhumanism, that's kind of right there in a nutshell what's going on. Multi-vectored attack on humanity. You've got one side where they're using the let's go from normal, natural nature, like male, female kind of thing, to, oh no, that doesn't exist. We can change into anything. So transgenderism is a middle point somewhere in the middle. And then the next switch is going to be this digital integration, if you will, right? So like I said, they give the shot to a bunch of people die. But some people, the integration, the technology, the nanotechnology, it works. It starts to integrate. That group then has offspring. The offspring have natural DNA built in nanotechnology that was created, right? At the same time, that natural offspring, that offspring with the DNA technology is growing up in a world where there is no male or female, right? Is everybody, it is sort of in that middle ground mode of transgender, trans whatever, transhumanism. So after that generation, after that next generation has another generation, there is probably going to be, in their eyes, according to their plan, I don't want to say complete, but, you know, very well on its way to accomplishing what they want to do with humanity. Will there be any natural humans left? Will they all eventually be bred out of existence? Because now there's even talk of babies getting this technology in them by breastfeeding. Natural born baby breastfeeds. Soon there's not going to be any resources left for natural people. Unless you just want to eat bugs. I don't know. Excuse me. Let's see. Let's take a look at our old fun stuff here. Give me a second. Oh, yeah. By the way, again, tomorrow is the Pope takes all the money back. Okay. I just opened up Twitter here, and I'm seeing, my goodness, there's people getting just crazy reactions. So a lot of people have these delayed reactions. Looks like a lot of people are having delayed reactions to the vaccine, unfortunately. So I don't know what to make of that. I'm sorry. I'm watching this video that just is horrendous. Let's see. What is this? Hold on. Let's just go ahead and put them on
speakerphone.
Put them right on the video screen here. Give me a sec. See what she says to say. Whoops. I apologize.
Video, I want.
There we go. Wait. Okay.
Well, this is not a video I want to make. And it's kind of hard to make because as I'm watching myself, I see what I'm going to say, which is I have been diagnosed with Bell's palsy, which is paralysis on one side of the face. For me, it's this side here, the left, obviously. So I got it about 2 weeks after getting my vaccine. and I had a rough go with the vaccine, and I guess still am. But I have to say that I would do it again because it's what we have to do to see people. So, I don't know why I'm making this video, but here's my weird smile.
Okay, so that was Canadian actress Jennifer Gibson.
So I was looking at some of the libs of TikTok. Legs spread for children at Chattanooga Pride Youth Day. Yeah. Wow, we just took wholesome and just threw it right out the window, didn't we? What is like a family-friendly drag strip show anyway? It's like when they, I guess they just keep their penis covered. Right? But, you know, shaking. You know, remember when a lot of people thought twerking was like kind of like risque, if you will? I guess there is no such thing as risque anymore, right? I mean, we as society, at least NATO society, has come to the point where, you know, we've combined like sex stripper shows with circus performers. I mean, there's not, I don't know, you know, I see it as a psyop. I see the whole freaking thing as a psyop. I see a lot of similarities between, well, like what happened in Germany in the 1930s and how they rallied people. It doesn't matter what the ideology is, you know, and it doesn't matter. It, for example, you know, the 1930s ideology in Germany was a little bit different than the rainbow happy ideology that we have here going on. But I see similarities in the same way, like the prominent use of flags and colors and camaraderie that they have. It's also like a cult. And, you know, but here the wide use of propaganda. I saw there was this, you ever see these YouTube videos where they got these predator catchers, right? And somebody baits somebody on the internet, or I guess it's on these apps now on the phone, like Grindr. They pretend like they're an underage child, and then they bait usually older men into, you know, saying explicit things that are illegal. And then these older men, somehow they get them to like meet them, like in the, you know, Walgreens or whatnot, or, you know, Walmart. And where am I going with this? Oh yeah. So this one guy, I guess they saw him in a mall, and they get him on tape. They say, okay, I'm going to either call the police or yell at everybody, or you can sit down and talk to us for a little while. And they usually say, oh, okay. He's like, you've been messaging, you know, a 13-year-old girl, and that's not right. And okay, you want us to call the police? No, I'll go talk to you. I'll go talk to you. So they get him to talk to him, and they usually admit everything. And then they call the police anyway. But that's not the point at this story. The point, he sits down, he's talking to him, and I'm watching this, and I see in the background, there's this humongous poster, and it says hashtag, which has got all these rainbow colors, and it says hashtag just say gay, or hashtag say gay, I guess, whatever. You know, and they say, don't say gay. Now they got to have this ant, you know, oh, you got to say gay. Oh, you can't say gay. Oh, yeah. Okay, whatever. Politicizing everything. Everything is politicized. Anyway, and this is like a clothing store, mind you. Okay, what the hell does a clothing store have to be doing putting propaganda, technically political? I know, well, how is the LGBT movement political? Oh, it's political, believe me. If you don't, it's a little abstractly political, but it's political. But yeah, you know, the same use of slogans, the same use of propaganda, just a little bit different.
I'm seeing a lot of little parallels. There's even parallels to like what I think I heard Alex talking about it. What like the Aztecs did way back when they were sacrificing people. You know, we have to take your virgin, or we have to take your firstborn, or whatever it is. Because why? Because the sun is going to get eaten. Now it's climate change. You're going to have to lock down and do all this because why? Because climate change. If you just follow our orders, if you just do what you're told all through history, same psychological there's parallels. People don't see the parallels. What other parallels? Like the switching over to climate crap from COVID to get everybody used to, you know, following all these orders and protocols and just getting used to, oh, well, it's minor inconvenience. Well, it's not that big a deal. I mean, come on. It's just a mask. What? It's not a big deal. You just put on a mask for a few minutes. No, we got to start going no quarter. That's the enemy now. Enemy against humanity. The stakes are too high. Before, on some stuff, you know, the stakes, some people might say, come on, you know, it's just this or that or whatever. Now the stakes are all or nothing. This is for the freedom and beyond the freedom of humanity, for the literal existence of humanity itself. It might already be too late. It might already be too late. Unfortunately, with this nanotech invasion that's going on, I challenge anybody that thinks I'm full of shit to go down to your local, there's plenty of them, go down to your funeral home. And you know, you could just be it. You don't have to pretend you're anybody. Just go in and say, look, I got to ask you a question. You know, I got to ask you, Ian Ballmer. I'm not going to tell anybody else. I just want to know for my own peace of mind. And don't even tell the embalmer. Just say, have you noticed anything odd? Just ask the embalmer. I did. He said, yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of blood clots. Go down and ask the embalmer, did you notice anything odd? Yeah, business is great. Business is booming. What was the cause of death? Well, you know, I mean, I didn't ask this question, but I'm wondering, this is a rhetorical question, if you could find out, I wonder if the cause of death, if there is higher rate of heart attacks, cardiovascular, you know, aberrations of some sort, myocarditis. I saw this commercial. Now, it was a commercial, so it's propaganda, but they're pretty good at making things, you know, remember the telephone commercial, like, you just got to call somebody, like you want to call home. Reach out and touch someone. Remember that one? Reach out and touch someone. They were always like, oh, you're calling grandma, you know, Christmas time. Oh, you're making her smile. It's all freaking propaganda. All actors ever paid to do that. Yeah, grandma doesn't care. Anyway, so what the hell am I saying again? The propaganda, that's right. So this little girl. She's like, I don't know, it's something, this little girl's, it's commercial. And she's like, I was diagnosed with, I was in school or something. And, you know, I was playing with the kids. We were playing ball and I fell over and I felt really bad. I had something in my chest, you know, it hurt. Like a little girl would say something, whatever. And I found out that mommy took me to the doctor and they found out I have myocarditis. I know I'm laughing because it's so stupidly cynical. And it's like all cute. No, she's got myocarditis. And you got to laugh at their propaganda. Don't let it affect you. It's like, how could you laugh at this poor little girl? It's just not real. okay, let me continue. So this little girl, she gets myocarditis. She's like, but with the help of, yeah, the pharmaceuticals, with the help of drugs and doctors and all that, I'm going to be able to live my dream to be like a, you know, an artist or an Olympic champion or something. And they go, no, man, you'll be dead in 5 years. I know, it's horrible, but this is the mockery, you know, that, and it's like, oh, yay, you know. God, the pharmaceutical companies, they're so evil. Yeah, they're going to save that little girl. She's going to live a normal life. And she's going to be an Olympic ski champion, right? Mm-hmm. With the help of Pfizer. Pfizer will sponsor her. Pfizer will keep her alive as long as she takes her booster shots. That myocarditis will be kept at bay. Is that new? Are they able to do that now? I mean, here's another question. I don't know the answer to this. Maybe somebody out there does. Is there anybody ever in the world that's lived longer than, let's say, I don't know, after being diagnosed with myocarditis in, like, I don't know, 7 years? Has it happened? I don't know. I hear that the mortality rate is literally like 5 years, like cancer. Like, yeah. with or without drugs? Can they, do they have, I mean, do they have heart medicine that can help that if you have myocarditis and like, oh yeah, you know, I know somebody's had myocarditis for 15 years and they just take their medicine and they're okay as long as they take it easy. Is that a situation or is like, no, man, people don't, they die after you get it. It's like, yeah, I don't want to sound like a heartless ass, but you know, with the propaganda, they're always lying anyway. Just don't take the shot. Oh, it's too late. You took the shot. What are you going to do now? You failed the discernment test. They told you not to take it. Did you have that in the back of your mind? Was it, you know, was it worth it? Let me ask that. Was it worth it? You feel okay? Maybe you feel okay. Maybe you got the placebo and you still have your job. You went to the whatever. You got to go to the concert. Whatever. You got your free donut. Remember they were giving donuts away. And he showed, what's his name, the New York governor guy or de Blasio or whatever the hell. You mean there's a burger element to this? Like, oh, this is propaganda crap. Oh, my God. So ridiculous. And people are, it's not going to laugh at the stupidity. The people are so dumb. I don't know. You get what you deserve. Hang on. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Do you believe in clones? That's a weird one, huh? You know, Biden, have you noticed his earlobes? Look at, go ahead, another challenge. Look at Biden from 19, I don't know, when he, look at the Biden when he was with Obama, when they went into office. That should be easy enough to find. That guy, that was gangster Biden. That was a different guy. That was the guy with a tattoo on his arm. That was a guy with, I think he had attached earlobes. One of them, their earlobes are attached, and the other one, they're not. Like a major physical difference. Go ahead and look at that one. Look at the Joe Biden that was inaugurated as vice president with a Barack Obama. And then look at the guy that's in there right now calling himself Joe Biden. You tell me if you think that's the same guy. Just tell me that. Is it a clone? Is it his, you know, what's her name said was his brother? His brother, what brother? The twin brother. What twin brother? The one that you don't know about. They wouldn't lie about that. Would you believe that some of them are lifetime actors? Here's another one, kind of just to kind of mess with your head a little bit. Look at Morgan Freeman. Go ahead, Google an image of Morgan Freeman. There's like full on face, right up close face of Morgan Freeman. And then Google and find an up-close face of Jimi Hendrix. And take a good look at the lips, the teeth, the moles on the skin, the shape of the nose, and everything else at the face. And you tell me if that's not A, maybe it's a clone or it's the same guy. It could be the same guy. Right about when Jimi Hendrix went off and crossed the Rainbow Bridge, this guy, Morgan Freeman, started a new career on Sesame Street. Jimi Hendrix actually did a commercial. There's footage out there. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember there's a commercial that was Jimi Hendrix, and then there was one with Morgan Freeman. And I believe that for whatever reason, somewhere, some along the line, they switched. And he's like, they're like, no, you're not going to be a rock star. We've got, you know, another band that's going to do our work there. A few of those. Where we need you is we need you in the Hollywood movie children's television workshop area. And, you know, Sesame Street, perfect place. Launch your career in Sesame Street. We'll roll up right on through Hollywood. And that's what happened there. There's a few guys. Now, here's another one that's a little more advanced. But take a peek. And I'm not saying, believe me, that these are what I'm saying. Just open your mind and pose your own questions. Whether they're the same clone stock, maybe they're not the same person. Maybe they're from the same clone stock. Maybe they're, you know, I don't know what, but Father, oh, my goodness. I can't think of his name now. Damn it. Father. Oh, shoot. I'll have to get back to you on that one. But there's another few of them. Okay. It's the same guy. Kermit.
Roosevelt, Kermit Roosevelt, Walt Disney, Kermit Roosevelt and Walt Disney, and one other guy, Adolf Hitler. Look at those three, Kermit Roosevelt, Walt Disney, and Adolf Hitler, and there's a 1930s minister that there's actually footage on YouTube. And some of you, I played it for, and you've probably seen it before, but it's black and white, and it shows this minister, I can't remember his name, and he's giving a speech, and he's like, let every Jew, and he's talking about, you know, how the Jews are responsible for things, and his mannerisms, and his look, and the way he shakes his arms in the air, except he's not speaking German, looks exactly like Adolf Hitler. I'm not saying it has nothing to do with the ideology or what I think or, you know, what Hitler or any of that Jew, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm just saying I think that this guy was in this role, and then who's they? Someone that we don't know. Some power, somebody that's directing this show. A group, I don't know, the Aldebarani family, the Black Nobility, the Bilderbergs, who's directing them? Them. Somewhere there was a decision made to take this priest out of this obscurity, and he had a following, take him out of that. Does anybody remember the name? Do you know who I'm talking about? I might have to like look on and see if I can find it just to show you guys in the chat room and stuff. But take him and move him into another area, and isn't there Mein Kampf? Where did he write that? Isn't there like stories that he actually was related or you know, involved with or part of or connected to the Rothschilds, right? So these connections existing in the shadows that we think are separate, but they're not separate. Let me see if I can find this 1930s preacher. Okay, because if I can get his name, preacher, 30s preacher, what else? It's Father, oh, it's really, Coughlin, got it, Coughlin, 1930s, Father Coughlin. And now, let me see. Okay, so it's Father Coughlin. See how the memory works? So now I can go ahead and do like Father Coughlin. How did you spell it? C-O-U Coughlin, yeah. All right. Ah, here we go, Father Coughlin. All right, there's a channel. Now one of these has him making that speech. Oh, he's got the full speech as well. But there's one. And you tell me if this guy isn't actually the same guy. Is that Hitler? Ah, here it is. Okay, copy link address. Hang on. Hold on. I'm going to put it in the chat room so you guys can look at it, and then I'll actually play a little bit of it on here just so you could just hear the way he speaks. So here I am playing a little bit of it in just a moment. This one goes on. It's only 2 minutes and 35 seconds. We got time, right? Here we go.
There is written in the Constitution of the United States that Congress has the right to coin, issue, and regulate the value of money. That's good Americanism, and it's good enough for me. Every politician today, in the Democratic or Republican ranks, who sits upon one of the thrones of the mighty, doesn't believe in that part of the Constitution. They don't want to believe in that part of the Constitution. They believe that the Federal Reserve Bank has the right to coin and regulate the value of money. They're not even Americans. These so-called Democrats and Republicans. And so, Mr. Roosevelt, who was very loquacious in 1933 about driving the money changers out of the temple, is now bent upon another policy. I think driving the workmen out of decent annual wages. As I come before you today, I wish to leave this thought with you, that in each congressional district here in Illinois, we will endorse a candidate who can rise above his party and puts patriotism first. He may be a Democrat or a Republican or whatnot, but we're through with a sham battle of politicians, and now we're on our own. Therefore, under your congressional district presidents, form your battalions, take up the shield of your defense, unsheathe the sword of your truth, and carry on in Illinois so that the communists, on the one hand, cannot scourge us, and that the modern capitalists, on the other, cannot plague us.
Interestingly enough, that was not what I was intending to play. However, it does show what I was trying to illustrate. If you look at that, at his mannerisms and the way that he moves his body movements, his body language while he's talking, is very reminiscent of Adolf Hitler. That's all I'm saying. And I'm just wondering if it's something, apparently, or some people that believe, like Dallas Goldbug, you know, for example, Ed Cherini, shout out, who he used to have a show here, was a host here as well, and has done a lot of excellent work on pointing out that there is some hanky-panky going on, that one of the things that you can do is look at the relatives, look at their spouse and daughters and close relatives of the people that you are matching up to say, is this person this person? And then when you find out that their relatives seem to have similarities as well, then it becomes a whole other mind blower. Because now we have a case of entire families that are not what they seem, that are either playing dual roles, multiple roles. You may have relatives that are actually father and daughter, and they're playing husband and wife, or their brother and sister playing husband and wife, or vice versa. So, because the world that we exist in as the, quote unquote, according to them, the spectators, the non-player characters, the useless eaters, the masses, the goyim, our world is a little bit different from their world. And they all share this common, this sort of, you can't hear me. Can anybody hear me? Let me make sure I can hear me. Can you not hear me?
From there.
No, I can hear me. sound is good, though. Oh, crap. It's on his end. Yes. So our world is different from their world. So they have this sort of like, you could kind of like, it's like a fraternal secret. The penalty for divulging and violating certain parts of this large fraternal secret, of course, is beyond death. It's a slow and agonizing decline for the individual, but it can also mean tentacles reach out and go after things that you care about. And the rewards, of course, are, well, you get to star in all the big films and be famous. You get to have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. People get to look up to you and idolize you, and you get to get that energy that's just like being worshipped like a god. A lot of these Luciferians go for that. They want to be worshipped. That it's almost like a sexual gratification to some of these folks, is the fact of having people worship them, taking away that energy from the creator so that people are not channeling the energy toward, let's say, the creator or creation or nature or the universe or anything like that. They're channeling it to you. They're channeling it to your collector. You're taking that psychic, that louche, whatever, that raw energy, and it doesn't always have to be negative. Imagine the rush that it gives some people to be on stage. There is a video that shows Michael Jackson doing one of his concerts, and I think it was in Korea. It was either Japan or Korea, like it was in Asia. And a fan, Michael Jackson was up on this like platform that raised him above, you know, and it was like one of those cherry picker kind of things. So he's standing in this little box and he's holding on, and this thing's raised him high above the crowds. Well, a fan somehow managed to get up there. And it's moving high up above the crowds, right? And if the fan makes one misstep, which it looks like he's probably going to, he's going to fall and probably crack his head open and die and maybe injure somebody below him. So Michael Jackson, doing the right thing, grabs the fan and, you know, pulls him close because he knows that this crazy guy's about to fall and die, and I don't want that happening at my concert. Well, Michael grabs him and continues with the show, which actually was really cool. Continued with the show. The fan was in absolute ecstasy. I mean, he was in nirvana. This was like at the high point of his life, because not only is he up there, you know, with one of the people that was someone he idolized, obviously, but now he's also up there with his idol collecting all of that focus. You could just see it, man. I've been in rooms where energy is high. I remember one time I was seeing the monks, the Giotto monks. I was in the same room, and they're the ones that do the, you know, that really, that low throat singing chant. And I was in that room for hours with them, and the energy, it's unexplainable. It was beyond getting goose pimples. And I mean, it is a rush. You're just, oh my goodness. It's just, I love that. So I could see it's like a drug, you know? You know, it's like somebody doing heroin and going, whoa, this is, oh, I could get to like this, you know? It's the same thing in some ways. So let's see, only 15 minutes, and my clone documentary that I was going to play is like an hour long. So I don't think we're going to be able to compress an hour long clone documentary into 15 minutes. So I might as well just keep rambling about stuff. Let's look at the chat room and see what they're talking about. Here is the, oh, what's this? Dawn's to you too. The Desgo Yellow Submarine. That's actually pretty cool. I've started a fad at Revolution Radio. Yeah, it's cool. It is addicting. It's fascinating. I like I said, I like working with the AI art. And you know, you can put in, they're all different. There's several different ones. And with the particular one that I'm working with, I like to put in obscure things, and sometimes, you know, it's fine tunable. So if you want to have a very sharp photograph of a dragon queen or something, I know what it feels like, the deep bass throat singing in the room. Yeah. Yeah. It's intense. But, yeah, you can, the AI, you can descriptor it. You can tell it like 35 millimeter lens, sharp focus, highly detailed hair. You can direct it. And the more descriptors, I guess you could call it, they call it prompts, that you put in, the better. Or, well, I wouldn't say the better, but you get results. And most of the time it's better. And especially, you know, you may what am I trying to say? You may have an idea on what you're going for and get something completely different, or it may be a variation, then it's almost like an imagination augmentation. But again, I look at technology. I like technology. I think it can be used to assist us, but again, it must be brought to heal. It must be something that we, the people, control. And in this complicated world, it's a very, very difficult challenge, especially when, you know, we can't concentrate at that at the moment because we have to concentrate on stopping people from screwing everything up. I mean, we've got these wonderful people with wonderful brains out there, you know, that are making things that are probably going to make the world a better place, yes, overall. But we also have these folks in control behind order followers with guns. We have to get rid of the order followers with guns. And I'm not saying to rise up against them in a violent way. I don't know, maybe we can convince some of them. Because a lot of these order followers with guns, you know, I don't know. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. There has to be a way. Suggestions? I heard hijackers say a council, you know. I was on with Polite Gunfight the other night, and I mentioned, you know, we talked about blockchain a little bit. And interestingly enough, he had the same idea that I had. He came up with it separately. So, well, great minds think alike. And other people have come up with it as well. But to use blockchain as a voting mechanism. Because what is one of the big issues that we have? Well, it apparently is the vote. Now, some people, oh, no, the voting system's fine. No, it's not. You know better. If you think the voting system and all that is fine, then you are willfully ignorant or just really, really dumb. And I guess, there are some really dumb people that are just completely – is there such thing as it's a different. It's a type of dumb. It's what is that? It's like an innocent dumb. Innocently dumb. We need to send Mr. Rowe into the Matrix, eliminate Agent Smith and his cronies. Yes, I have a plan. You know, the people are just naive. Like, they're dumb, but they don't mean to be dumb. They just are dumb. Innocently dumb. They're just as dangerous. All right, let's see. The naive. You know why? Because some of these people, they tend to default to whatever the crowd is doing. Whatever, that's instinctual moves, you know. And if you get too many order followers and too many people barking the orders, like I have a friend, I mentioned this before, that he's very susceptible to just following, or even subliminally, you know, of just going along to get along. They convinced him to get not a booster for COVID, because he didn't, you know, I convinced him not to get the COVID shot. And he specifically went to a doctor and said, you know, for something else. And he said, I don't want the COVID shot, because he kept trying to say, oh, wait, give me a COVID shot. And he's like, no. And then they came in with a clipboard and said, oh, but you need an update. And he's like, an update? And you're like, yeah, you need to have your update for what they say it was, TB, tuberculosis. And he's like, huh? And I'm like, I wonder if they, you know, if they, yeah, because this world is an evil place now. Evil is out and loose. And I don't know. We'll find out. But so, and he's always, so I let him do it. I'm like, oh, man. But he is the kind of person that if you walk up to him, like I you could have a name tag on, carrying a clipboard and, you know, work in a movie theater, and he'll do whatever you say. And sometimes he gives up way too much information. Mr. Social Butterfly is going to go out there and say all kinds of stuff and give out like lots of key information to total strangers just in the course of conversation. And it annoys me sometimes because don't be talking to the neighbors like that. Don't be telling them your plans, you know, or, oh, yeah, I'm over here. I'm going to help do this and that. And we're going to, you don't have to give away, you know, details. This is operational security. So, yeah. I remember one time I got in an argument because we were talking about a theoretical. The neighbors were having some issues with the police. And the police were saying out there, they're like, yeah, we just want to do a walkthrough, right? And they didn't have a warrant. I'm like, I wouldn't let them do a walkthrough, you know, if they came up. And we had a like a theoretical conversation. Like, he's like, well, if the police came here, you know, he was staying with me. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but I'm the owner. And I say, the police do not come in this house without a warrant, you know, and they have to talk to me. And that's it. And he's like, well, yeah, but if I'm staying with you and they came up, I mean, I could just, I said, well, you could, but I would tell you not to, you know. You know, he's like, well, if I just want to let him come and look in my room, and I'm like, no, they need a warrant, you know. And I'm trying to like drill into his head. It doesn't make a difference. Well, if there's nothing to hide, I'm like, there's the attitude that we have to correct that. Yeah, okay, that's fine. You got nothing to hide, da da da. But it's still none of their business, and it's still your right to be secure, you know. And so even especially if you're the innocent person doing everything you're supposed to do, you know, no, I have nothing to prove to you. I'm not going to let you come in and do a walkthrough to quote unquote make sure everything's okay. There's no reason for that. And so I had to give him a lesson in, you know, your rights, and you know, you got to exercise them sometimes. And even in the theoretical, but yeah. So let's see if there's any recent updates. Is anything that's happened in the world? Everybody forgot about the bio laboratories. I mean, not people like on the station or the listeners, but it just seems like we haven't heard too much about what's been going on. And the Russians have put out all of this information. But of course, the attitude is like their information is irrelevant, right? Right, just like, let's say, anything coming from the Republican Party, you know, it's just the bias that I see from people, even. But I guess it's pretty close to, like, let's say, the Republican side. Like people that are really hardcore into Trump won't give any credence or credibility to anything, let's say, coming from the Huffington Post or somebody that's a diehard Biden supporter. Now, vice versa. There's been, at this point, I believe, a complete and total breakdown between the major political parties. Not that either of them are any, well, actually, the Democrats are a lot worse than the Republicans at this point. They've gone way, way down. And there was a point where I'd say they were both equally bad. But now, and I'm not a Republican now. I mean, I'm not into that anymore. But the Democrats are just, they've jumped that shark, man. They're in the demonic. I'm not saying, again, the Republicans aren't perfect. They're far from it. They're very corrupt. They're messed up, man. And there's probably a lot of things. I'm not going to say it. But Democrats, what happened? It's you lost it, man. Completely lost it. Some are buried in fog, though. Like, I've got a friend that's a Democrat, and I don't think she's even aware of anything. I think she's just going and doing her job. And that's the thing, too. You have a lot of ignorant people that don't see. They think a lot of they see it like, you know, the flashy colors of a website, and then go, I don't even want to read the words. That's how I looked at InfoWars the first time I saw it. I was living in Europe, and I remember coming across Prison Planet and InfoWars. And it had too many colors and flashing things on it. And I'm like, oh, this is one of these sites, like one of those high yield investment sites or these Chinese sites. Too many flashy things. And it was like some conspiracy stuff, blah, blah, blah. But then I decided to take a look. Yeah. And I was like, I think, what was it? I don't know. There was like a David Icke connection or something. Oh, my goodness. I'm almost out of time. All right. So I got nothing more to say anyway. I don't even have a song to play to go out. Jay Parker will be coming up next. I'm just going to ramble on to the very end, which is only 30 seconds away. So, you know who just popped into my head? Dr. Gene Scott. He used to wear all those funny hats. He'd be like, yeah, get on the telephone and give me a donation. The televangelist. My mom used to watch him because she always wanted to see what hat he had on. She didn't really care about what he was saying, although I listened to him one time, and he was telling a very interesting Bible story. But So shout out to Dr. Gene Scott. I mean, he did it the old-fashioned way, and he made his money. He got over. Everybody's got to do their hustle. Stay tuned, like I said, for Jay Parker. I am out of here. Ciao, ciao.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what cause.